us.
Calvary's love will sail forever, bright and shining, strong and free.
Like an ark of peace and safety on the sea of human need.
Through the eyes of all the ages, those tired of sailing on their own,
finally rest inside the shadow cast by Calvary's love across the souls. Calvary's love, Calvary's love, priceless gift, Christ makes us worthy of. The deeper sin can rise above, amaze is crushed and cast aside,
and redeems till heaven's promise fills with joy once empty eyes.
So desire to tell the story of a love that loved enough to die
burns away all other passion, and fed by Calvary's love becomes a fire.
Calvary's love,
Calvary's love, priceless gift,
Calvary's love. Praise you, God. How beautiful. Calvary's love has never faltered. Isn't that why we're here in this beautiful worship service this morning? Thank you, dear God. Thank you, dear God. Well, Memorial Day week, we got to go to Maine and see our granddaughters for the first time in person in 17 months. And it was wonderful. We were so blessed, those dear little girls, how God has blessed Eric and Katie to be able to just pour that his love through them into these dear little girls' lives. Now, Eric and Katie do a wonderful job of keeping us posted, and almost every day we have FaceTime with the kids, and they'll literally just put their phones in a position that we're able to see them, we're able to watch them and be with them as they play. We talk back and forth, but it's extra special when you're there in person. Now, we go back to 17 months before was the last that we had seen them. We had a tradition of, for several years in a row, that we would meet the kids in Freeport, Maine. And Freeport, Maine is the home of L.L. Bean. And so we would go to Freeport, Maine, and we would meet them there, and then we would celebrate the new year there in Freeport, Maine. Well, 17 months ago, on the last day, it would have been New Year's Eve day, I got up very, very early in the morning. We were staying in a hotel in Freeport, and I got up at about 5 o'clock in the morning, and it was as though God had something to say. And boy, I got to tell you, I was ready to listen. So as I'm walking down the beautiful street toward this beautiful little town of Freeport and L.L. Bean, they're open 24 hours a day all throughout the year, and I'm walking down there, and it's not even sunrise yet, but God is speaking to me and saying about how this coming year, that he is faithful, and this coming year, 2020, that it would be a year of redemption. It would be a year of renewal. It would be a year of revival. It would be a year where God would be redeeming every aspect of our life, not just the spiritual, but God would be redeeming finances. God would be redeeming physically. God would be redeeming our relationships. People that you haven't talked to in years, that God would be restoring them. And if we just had the mustard seed of faith and obedience, that God was prepared to do this. Less than 2 months later, then we hear of the pandemic of 2020, affecting everyone in the world. And I have to confess that the first thought that went through my mind, boy, God, you picked a bad year to promise redemption. You picked a bad year to promise that you would be redeeming finances, redeeming health, redeeming relationships, redeeming us spiritually in our relationship with you. But no, I was wrong, because God picked the perfect year. Because this is where the wheat and the chaff would be separated. This is where those with the mustard seed of faith, this is where those that just would turn their heads, like in the story from the book of Numbers and the prelude to John 3:16, those that looked with just the faith to look at that bronze image, that they would be healed. Praise be to God. In the midst of this pandemic, the worst challenge probably that we've had, I can tell you in my 65 and a half years, it's the biggest challenge that we've faced as a people, that we've faced as individuals, that we've faced as a nation, that we've faced as a world. But God is faithful. And that circumstance doesn't change who God is for us. Praise be to God. Our scripture is from the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to the church in Corinth. And our lesson for today is about the faithfulness of Almighty God. No matter what the circumstance, your crisis, your circumstance, no matter what the devil lays on us, is beyond the loving arms of Almighty God. This is what we read from Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, and in the fourth chapter, beginning in verse 5, this is what he said: the message we preach is not about ourselves. Can I get an amen? It's not about us. You better be thankful to God that it doesn't depend upon us. I thank God that it doesn't depend upon me. It's all about him. Our message is about Jesus Christ. We say that he is Lord. And we say that we serve you because of Jesus. God said, let light shine out of the darkness. And that's from Genesis. He made his light to shine in our hearts. His light gives us the light to know God's glory. Thank you, God. You are faithful. His glory is shown in the face of Christ. Then in verse 7, he says, we have this treasure. It is a treasure more precious than gold or diamonds or anything else. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power is all about God and not about us. Thank you, God. That shows that the mighty power of the good news comes from God. It doesn't come from us. Thank you, God. We are pushed hard from all sides, but we are not beaten down. We are bewildered, but that doesn't make us lose hope. Others make us suffer, but God does not desert us. We are knocked down, but we are never, ever destroyed. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for who you are. You are faithful, dear God. We always carry around the death of Jesus in our bodies. In that way, the life of Christ can be shown in our bodies. We who are alive are always in danger of death because we are serving Jesus. This happens so that his life can also be shown in our earthly bodies. Verse 12, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you and me. Thank you, dear God, for who you are. Thank you, dear God, for your faithfulness. Thank you, dear God, that this pandemic, that the world and all of its craziness, that all of the perversion, all of the twisted thinking, all of the ways of this dying, darkening world can't affect God's perfect love for you and me. So we celebrate that the excellency of the power is all about him and not even a little bit about us. I believe as Paul was writing this, there were three lessons that he gives to us. Three lessons that he gave, that he was saying specifically to that Corinthian church, but they apply so specifically to the 21st century church here at Holiday Park and in our region and in our state and in our nation and in our world. Number one is that our weakness becomes God's strength. It is in our weakness. It is as we submit and fall down to him that we can have his strength. This is a wonderful passage from Isaiah. The prophet said this, he strengthens those who are weak and tired. Even those who are young grow weak. Young men can fall exhausted. But those who trust in the Lord for their strength will find our strength renewed. We'll rise on wings like eagles. We'll run and not grow weary. We'll walk and not grow weak. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. This scripture was our family verse in 2012. And I remember very, very specifically, it would have been a Friday morning, the last Friday morning of 2011. And I had been praying, and Lucy had been praying, and our boys had been praying for what our verse would be. God has blessed us with a verse most of our adult life, every year, that will speak to the highs and lows and every point in between in that coming year. And God is faithful. And it was on the last Friday, and I'm driving down to Light of Life. It's not even sunrise yet, and it's freezing cold, and the frozen rain kind of a sleet was hitting the windshield. And I was just praying because I know that my brothers that I would be sharing with shortly, one beggar telling other beggars where I found food, I know that they would be coming in from underneath bridges. I know that they would be coming in from sleeping bags on the outside. And I was just praying to God, dear God, help me that you can speak through me today, dear God, in this time that I'll have, and just allow me to share something that will give them hope as they look into the new year. That this year, 2012, will be different than the previous year. And I heard it was either the announcer or a preacher. I was listening to Christian radio, and I heard someone on the radio say about how they were blessed by this passage in Proverbs. Well, I wasn't familiar with it. So when I got into the parking lot, first thing I did was got my Bible and I looked up the passage, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And when I looked at it, I must have been using a contemporary translation because it was in real simple terms. It was a one-fold premise and a two-fold promise. It says, in everything you do, put God first. And then the two-fold premise or promise was, and he will give you direction and crown you with success. Praise God, that's it. That's it. We've been praying for a word for these men. We've been praying for a word for our family. We've been praying for direction in this new year. That's it. In everything we do, we're going to put God first. I practically ran to the chapel. Fellas, I got it. You know, the last number of weeks we've been praying about direction from God. Praise God, I got it. It's from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And we're going to put him first in everything we do. And he promises that he'll give us direction and crown us with success. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And we saw blessing and miracle and favor like we had never seen in our lives before in that half of the year. At the mission and every family that I shared that with, this church family, we heard testimonies of healings. We heard testimonies of some of these men would find work and be welcomed back in their homes and move to Florida so that they would be with family. We heard miracle things that we never thought would happen because God is faithful. God is faithful. Thank you, God. In our lives, God was just blessing that first half of the year. In July, Lucy and I are walking up at the school. And as we're walking around, Lucy was, she's so gracious. And she just knows how to say something that I can embrace. And she says, honey, it's very obvious that God is speaking to us and has been speaking to us throughout the first half of this year from this passage in Proverbs. But she says, I believe that God is calling us to go deeper. Just like we dig for the water in Africa, we need to go deeper. We need to go deeper. God was spoon-feeding us, and he made it real simple for us using that translation of the Good News for Modern Man, that in everything you do, put me first. Just think of it that way. I don't want to get deep and theological with you. You can't handle it just yet. But in everything you do this year, you put me first. And I will give you direction and crown you with success. When Lucy said that, it was more than our just expecting God to put his initials on our plan. Oh, it made so much sense. And I don't know that Lucy knew the significance of that because I had been reading in the more traditional translations. And it's not a one-fold premise. It's a three-fold premise. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, you acknowledge him, and he will give you direction and crown you with success. Thank you, dear God. And how God blessed us with that. It affirmed what I was reading, what the Holy Spirit had spoken through Lucy. When we got back to our house, Eric was there. He had graduated with his master's degree in special education that May. This was just a couple of months later. If you'll remember back to 2012, there was $1 billion that was taken out of public education. So new teachers that were graduating were not getting jobs. There were no jobs to be had. School districts were having to cut the teachers. And so what few jobs were available were taken by experienced teachers that had been furloughed from other districts. So Eric had his resume out, and even with a master's degree, it was very, very difficult. When we get home, Eric meets us at the door, and he's smiling from ear to ear, and he says, Mom, Dad, you're not going to believe it. I just got off the phone with an interview for a teaching position. And I'm thinking, praise God, and I'm like winking, you know, my eye sockets out, you know, to Lucy. It's what we were talking about out there. We're going to trust in God with all of our heart. We're not going to lean on our own understanding. In all of our ways, we're going to acknowledge him, and God is blessing. God is faithful. Eric, I said to him, what's the position? It would be special education. Oh, my. And he says, Dad, you don't know the half of it. He said, they have a longtime baseball coach and a very successful baseball program, and they know that I played professional baseball, and they're talking about having me as an assistant coach so that I could be mentored by this experienced coach and then take over the position when he retires. My goodness, my goodness. Everything that we could dream of. And then I asked the question, oh, by the way, Eric, where's the school? And he said, Caribou, Maine. And I said, Maine, you mean the state with the E on the end of it? He said, that one, 20 hours drive away. And I have to confess to you that the first thought that went through my mind is that I knew better than God. And it's like, God, there are no teaching positions closer than 20 hours drive away? Of course there are. But God knew something that I didn't, because it would be there in that school that he would meet his future wife and the mother of our two beautiful granddaughters. God knows what he's doing. And we've got to trust in him with all of our heart and not lean on our own understanding, and in all of our ways acknowledge him. Last year at this time, I made the statement from right here in this sanctuary that all of the trite comments that you'd hear people make in the secular media, oh, just hang in there, we'll get through this pandemic, we'll get through it together. Don't you believe it? Apart from God, we can do nothing. One who labors, one who builds the house, labors in vain when you do it apart from God. That one missing element, if anybody tells you we're going to get through this thing, they better be telling you that it's only at the mercy of Almighty God, because God is faithful. Number two, our circumstances don't change God's promise to us. You might be in a very dark hour of your life. You may have one of the biggest challenges that you've ever had in your life, at your job, in your family. And not to mitigate that, not to minimize that, but that circumstance doesn't change the promise of God any more than the circumstance of that prodigal who was gleaning food from the pigs that he was feeding changed the love that his earthly father had for him. That boy never left his father's heart. And no matter how many times we walk away, no matter how many times we look inward, no matter how many times we try to believe the wisdom, the knowledge of this crazy, crazy world, and try to make sense of it, and try to integrate it into what we do so that we don't stand out, we're never beyond the loving arms of God. Our circumstance, our crisis, our challenge doesn't change the promise of Almighty God. Thank you, God, that you are faithful even in spite of us. And number three, it's important, and this is what Paul was telling that church in Corinth, and it's what our lesson is today, that we've got to act precisely when, where, and how God directs us. God's anointing, his provision, is on his vision for us. And our disappointment many times is because we have a different vision of ourselves than what God does. And so we're confused. I don't understand, God. I thought you promised provision. I do. And I am faithful, but not for your vision. It's for my vision. And so we need to understand that. We have this, and this is another passage, took a couple of chapters later in 2 Corinthians, and it says, in our work together with God, then we beg you who receive God's grace, don't let it be wasted. Don't squander this precious gift that God has given to you and me. Hear what God is saying. When the time came for me to show you favor, I heard you. When the day arrived for me to save you, I helped you. Listen, this is the hour to receive God's favor. Today is the day of salvation. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. You remember the story of the 12 spies who went into the promised land. Now, this is a story just a little over a year after the mass exodus out of Egypt. God is faithful, and God parted the Red Sea, and God was faithful to bless their every move, anoint their every step, and literally allow manna and quail meat to fall from the sky. He provided for them. He guided their every step. And now when they're on the opposite banks of the Jordan River, looking across, and for me, I always envision it to be at Station Square and looking across at the city of Pittsburgh, and now just the Mon River separating us from that promise of God. And compared to that Red Sea that God parted, it would be like a creek or a stream. But they didn't trust in God with all of their heart. They didn't. They began to lean on their own understanding, and they were not acknowledging him in all their ways. And so the only way that they wanted to proceed was to send spies into the land. We better check on this for ourselves, right? God helps those who helps themselves. Well, that's a lie. That's not scriptural. We say it is scripture, but that's not what scripture tells us. And they sent the 12 spies over, and after 40 days, they came back. 10 spoke with their minds, spoke literally what they saw, and gave all of the reasons why it would not be possible for them to go into the land at that time. But 2 spoke from their heart. Joshua and Caleb spoke in faith. And they said, everything that our brothers are telling you, we acknowledge. It's true. But it only points out the faithfulness of Almighty God, because it is in this situation, it is with all of this challenge, it is because the walls are so high, it is because the cities are so fortified, that we know that God is faithful and he wants us to trust in him. The people went with their minds and they followed the 10. But the next day, And we all have a bit in this, it started to play on some of the people's minds. And they began to think of it logically. You know, what Joshua and Caleb were saying, there's truth to that. And maybe we should go across. They went across less than 24 hours later, but God's anointing was not on them. And they were destroyed. They were destroyed. When God tells you, you go, you go. When God tells you, you move, you move. When God tells you to say this or to do this, you do it and you say it. Thank you, dear God. I believe for us, I believe our nation, I believe our world, I believe our church is at a crossroads. Crossroads. What that means is that straight ahead is no longer an option. And we have got to fall on our knees and find that exciting new direction that God is leading us to. Would you join me as we go to our Heavenly Father in prayer and seek his direction and allow him to be that guide for our every step? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for this day, for all the opportunity that you bring to us. Father, I pray your blessing upon Pastor Tony and Dottie. I pray your blessing upon their family. I pray your blessing, dear God, upon our leadership at this church. We are at a crossroads, Father. And I pray, dear God, that you would make your direction clear. And Father, just as the spies came back and they reported what they had seen, may we have the faith. May we have the courage. May we affix our eyes to you as Joshua and Caleb, that you will give us that direction, that we can trust in you with all of our heart and not lean on our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge you. Thank you, dear God. And it is in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in the precious anointing of your Holy Spirit, that we give you this praise and glory. And all of God's people say, amen.